We're going to read from the book of John because I'm right close open to it, the 13th chapter. And of course, this is a feast of the Passover. And Passover means death substitution. And it says, when Jesus knew his hour was come, he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his owners in the world, he loved them unto the end. And of course, that tells us the story there that Jesus never forsook the people. He never did at all. He bore with them right to the very end. And then, of course, he was raised up upon a cross, and there he gave his life because they could not kill him. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. His spirit went to God. The soul went down into Hades. And there he preached to the souls in prison, and there he liberated the people and brought them forth into glorified bodies as he stepped into an uncorrupted body, which was completely glorified, now completely energized by spirit and not by blood. I wouldn't know if the heart was pulsating or not. It wouldn't mean anything to me. All I know, he said, handle me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bone. Didn't say blood. But the life was there. And now that they crucified the Son of God afresh, that means Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit here. Let's understand this, that Brother Branham did not say that the pillar of fire left us. He said the pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium. He said our Joshua is the Holy Ghost. Many people want to designate this fellow, that fellow, Joshua, and many people like to be designated Joshua. But unless you've been actually called Joshua by your parents, you ain't no Joshua. And even though you're called Joshua by your parents, you still ain't no Joshua. Like Joshua of the Old Testament or the Joshua of this hour. But you're nice kids. So we love you. You've now got a good name. That's fine. You just stick with it. But people simply don't understand. But remember, the one that came down with the open book, the book of redemption, Brother Branham distinctly said, when man fell, God never sent an archangel, a cherubim, or angels. He himself came down, and so today. Now that one has not left us. Having loved his own, he loved them right to the end. Now remember, the end at that time was the death, the sacrifice, the shedding of the blood, in order for the life to come back upon us. And remember that one in a pillar of fire, the same one that appeared to Moses, the same one said to Paul, I am Jehovah. Why are you persecuting me? See? Now the same one is here today. Elohim. Same one came down. The same one is here. And remember, he brought us his word. Now remember, the word was already there, like the time of Moses. You could not add to it, but you could elaborate. That's why we have men like Isaiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Amos, all those men. Malachi, especially, the last one. Those men elaborated. They didn't bring a new revelation. What they did, they filled it out so that more and more was given. And we know there was a lapse in the New Testament. The thunders were omitted. A seal was blanked out. Even the seals were in metaphorical manner given to us. They were darkly given. He saw these symbols. But the end time, remember, every mystery is made known. See, now remember, if he shut the book, he's the only one going to open it. It's just like when he put Adam and Eve out of the garden and they couldn't get to the tree of life. You better believe he's the only one that's going to see that we get to it. You can't fool with the things of God. You can't change anything. So what we're looking at here now is this one here that instituted the giving of the bread and the wine as memorial. He was telling them here, look, I'm with you to the very end. Now notice what he said. I will not drink this again, and I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. So we're looking at the faithful God. Now, we talk a lot about faith. But you know therefore then when you partake of these emblems tonight, you are honoring the faithful God. And you are admitting your own faithfulness because you are saying, I will drink this anew with him. There's coming a day. Brother Branham even said to the disciples, saw him on the shore, he had fish and bread upon the fire. That's the scripture, and there's a song about it. And Brother Branham said he ate a fish sandwich. That's a little beyond our own reasoning, isn't it? Well, why would he have bread and why would he have fish? Why wouldn't he? See, that's the beauty of trusting God. The human mind is saying, I just don't know if that's the millennium. Why would we have fish and why would we have bread? The question is, why shouldn't we? I mean, where did you get your knowledge? Where did I get my knowledge? Where did I ever have an authority against his that could say, hey, I've got a question. I dispute it. I got my own ideas. See, Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you got no life. Well, they said, hey, hold it. Well, I want that. Don't you know that you and I take communion, we're receiving what they turned down. I don't care how many times, though, you take this communion, if you don't take it with the bread being broken to you, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. If the life of this word is not with us, it's just an empty symbol. Now, I don't say you're going to get hurt. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying the bride is a little different. She just doesn't come and congregate. No. She just doesn't come and let some priest or some minister put a little wafer on your tongue and give a little bit of this or that. Or they pass a loaf of bread around and break it off and they kind of, you know, sing when the saints come marching in or something. You know what I mean? They just do everything but what they should do. What should you do in this service? You should come believing in the covenant of the faithful God who does not leave us. And to prove that we are his own by coming back to pick us up. Hey, you don't have to just look at old Elijah back there and get green with envy. Just because a chariot came down and picked him up. Brother Branham said, one of these days is going to come down and pick us up. Those people that sing Swing Low Sweet Chariot, they're only singing. We're not even singing, but we know we're going to go. Yeah. The faithful God. That's what communion means at this hour. The faithful God, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Now, just a minute. What was that love of his? Bringing the revealed word. Making sure that they'd hear his voice because they were sheep. And he brought it himself so there wouldn't be a mistake made. Brother Branham said God was obligated to come to the Gentiles at the end time as he came to the Jews in the flesh. He'd come by the Spirit. Brother Branham also said that God would be revealed in human flesh once more. Now that's good for the prophet. And we appreciate it. I appreciate that. I've got no problem at all. It's the pillar of fire standing up inside it. Personally, see, I want to just stay away from the pillar of fire. I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to. That's my covenant. Let him do it. Now, if he can show me he's done it, I just walk right in. Hey, man, you talk about free tickets to the greatest game in the world, the game of life. We're going to end up in New Jerusalem. You didn't have to beg. You didn't have to look for it. God just came on the scene and did for us. Communion means that all to us tonight, you know, faithfulness of God. Because, you see, he didn't just die. He rose. He rose again. That life came back upon us. So that's a marvelous thing to have that, the bread broken to us. And it's wonderful to wash feet. And if we didn't get any more reason to do it than he said it, that's the thing to do. Because he said it. People want to argue. Well, that's just good for a hot country, bless God, where the feet got dusty, you know. And yet if you bring them face to face with it, they can't argue. Say, well, hey, that communion is legitimate. Foot washing is too. I don't really see any use for it, you know, but you know. He said there was use for it. Well, he said there's certain things right now that we're doing that you won't know till hereafter. What if we haven't come to the hereafter for this yet? Something down the road. Something in the millennium, further sanctification. Well, I don't have the answers. I can see a lot of things I could talk about. But you know, even if I talk about many things and feel I've come to the definitive answer, I'm going to stick with Brother Branham, who stuck with Scofield, who said, even when a mystery is revealed, there's still an element in there that makes you know you don't know it as you ought to. Also, it's a humbling exercise when you wash feet. You do it because you're letting everybody know that you're really nobody. Just really a servant in the long run. And so is the other fellow, because he's got to take his turn too. You see, old Peter went overboard. You don't have to go overboard. He said, my hands, my head, everything. He said, oh, Peter, please. Please, please, please. Can't I just ask for foot washing before? And you got to go through a car wash? You see what I'm saying? Simple foot washing. That's all he asked for. Because nobody's greater than the other fella. And especially since the Great One is here to lead us into the millennium, having revealed this the tremendous message of the hour of his presence and the judge and all these things. My. Then what is foot washing then? And that's in its simplicity. Well, it's just being very happy with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Nobody big, nobody small. Everybody part and parcel. You know? Everybody happy? Nothing to be unhappy about. You wash my feet and I wash yours. That's equality. People looking for the thing called equality. Here God gets it on a platter. And they're looking for legislation. You forget your legislation. Sovereign God. Okay, that's the way it is tonight. Let's rise and be to take partake. We've got the brethren come forward then, rapidly. And we don't forget there's room back here. There's about 7 chairs. That's 14 people right there. And they'll take care of the back out there and make it just very nice. So, all right, if they come, we'll bless the elements and bless the Lord together and finish off our service. Heavenly Father, now that we're here in your presence to partake of these emblems, we do thank you. May your name be glorified. And, Lord, as we've talked about it so simply, it's honoring your covenant and you honoring your covenant. Together we're honoring the truth. Just even as you ascended up, we're going to ascend up too. And even as we understand service and just humility amongst ourselves, no great ones, just standing with the word, Lord. And that's all that's necessary. May we begin to see that as never before. And come to that place, Lord, of the beauty of holiness in the simplicity of the hour as the prophet taught us. So may we partake together the emblem of your broken body, your shed blood signifying life. And we give you glory as we stand here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we regret that other people miss what we are enjoying, but that's not really the way we ought to feel. You ought to feel like Brother Branham said that time when he came back from the curtain, beyond the curtain of time. Don't miss it. Just make sure we don't miss it. And you know, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In fact, it's almost 30 years closer. How much more time? We don't know. But we know that this type of world does not pass away till all things be fulfilled. In other words, there's not going to be any great kingdom come on earth. There's not going to be some great spiritual, tremendous thing going to come. It's going to wax worse and worse till a little tiny bride gets out of here. Aren't you glad you're part of it? there's a big bunch of you, I'd have to leave and say, hey, I've said it many, many times. Brother Branham said, I hear there's 10,000 follow this message, got to shake them off. Well, you know, I guess there's a 500,000. I don't know what they believe, but I know one thing, that people who say that really believe as I believe, I'm wrong. I'll be honest, I'm wrong. Because only 8 people made the ark. That's figurative, of course. And I figure I'm one of them. Did you ever make a figure eight when you were a kid on ice? That's one of the trickiest things to do, to learn to make a figure eight. I figure I'm one of them. You do too? Good. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we believe that we're a part of your elect, not because we said so, not because we of ourselves knew it, but we believe that we're a little smarter than Belshazzar, who saw the handwriting on the wall, who heard what it meant and turned it down, thinking everything was still okay, and he hated the run of things. Lord, we don't believe we're that type tonight. We believe we're of those who have seen the handwriting on the wall, who heard the message, and said, that's for us. And by your grace, Lord, with your help, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we will live also what we know to be within ourselves, that seed word of God, coming forth after your kind, your image, your species, which we know positively, and there's no doubt about it, has been manifested in this hour. And we have seen God manifested again in human flesh. We've seen just what the prophet told us we saw, we believe it. And we're walking in it. I want to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Tomorrow then, 10 o'clock, take the name of Jesus with you. Bring 2 little thoughts to your mind, and then we're going to have the communion of the Lord's table. And don't forget, there's enough in back here for the men right away. You can start washing feet here. It leaves all the room out there also. There's 6 basins there that takes care of 12 people at one time. And out there, you know, we don't want to keep you any longer. I get tired and I like to get home early, but I thought, oh, listen, I'll get tired. I'll get revived in the resurrection. So, okay, come on, resurrection. Let's get moving. So I can feel better in a hurry. Now, the scripture here in John 13 has to do with foot washing. And, of course, he washes their feet, and Peter was a bit upset, but Jesus had to calm him down. And then in verse 12, he says, so after he washed their feet and taken his garments, was set down again. He said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Now, all right, he said, I am Master and Lord, and that is correct. Now remember when Jesus talked about the man who had a servant who worked all day in the field and he was dog tired. And he came in and the master sat down and he said, okay, where's my meal? Hey, hop to it, boy. Get moving. He said, does the master care that this fellow's had a rough day? No. Not at all. He's the master. Now, that may sound like a pretty rough little lesson, but it's the truth. Now, what we're looking here, you call me Lord and Master, then you better believe that I am, and you better act like it. My word is law. You don't got a thing coming. Oh, there's that nasty thing. Live, die, sink, or swim. He's the Master, right? My, you're a bright bunch of people tonight. Beautiful. Yeah? Good, now listen. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, because I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now that's fine, but let's keep going. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent him greater. Now, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now, keep that in mind. This has to do with foot washing.
If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Which means that you agree and you go along with it and say, that's right. That's right. I understand that. I buy that. I'm just a flunky. Yep. I said right here, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you conform to say, that's great. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. Now watch. Same idea. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread of me hath lifted up his heel against me. What about the scripture that says there are those that don't lift up their heel against him? Huh? It's there too. Left hand, right hand, blessing, cursing. Come on. Good, bad, two binds. Come on. You got those that fluke out, flunk out. You got those that don't. Hallelujah. Right? Let's keep reading. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am. Now watch. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You say, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that's true. But there was a man sent from God, William Branham, the same as the Apostle Paul. So when you wash feet tonight, you are saying, Lord, I am accepting the person you send because I'm not a know-it-all smart aleck. I'm not washing feet and then turning right around denying it by denying your prophet. I've got my own think coming. I can handle this myself. You follow me? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Read it again. For the foot washing, see? And it leads right up to whomever he sends. You receive me. And that's what Paul the Apostle said in his epistle. He said, you have been taught of Christ, Jesus. They never even saw him. They never heard him. They knew Paul was the voice. And William Branham said, I was just the voice. And that against my better judgment, but I didn't have a thing coming. Live, die, sink, or swim, this is it. So you don't get rest from yourself until you give over to something or somebody that is bigger than you and can handle it. Try driving a car for 1 hour unconscious. Out of condition. How'd they do it? I didn't. I pray every day when I go, Lord, in some manner I express, keep your hand upon a wheel. And notice I didn't get hurt and I didn't hurt anybody. Do I hurt you and I restrict you to the word? Do I hurt you when the scalpel goes in and I show you these things, the word that the prophet taught? Brother, sister, if you're offended, don't wash feet tonight. You're a hypocrite. If you got a thought coming, you're a hypocrite. I'm not saying for 1 minute our thoughts don't get in and we don't have trouble. Brother Brand said the greatest battle is right here. I exceed and concede. What I'm asking is a rebellion in your heart. Because if you got a thing coming, you do not believe in Brother Branham. And you believe the servant is greater than the Lord. All right. Let's go to Matthew 26. Don't want to hurt anybody's feeling on purpose, but the point is, hey, We've got to watch these things. As they're in verse 26, as they're eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body.
He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What am I going to say about the cup of communion? Every time you drink it, you're not just obeying a commandment. You are accepting and confirming your invitation to the wedding supper and the communion, or whatever description it is, in the millennium. If you look on the wall over there, you're going to see a picture. That's to your left. It's a picture Sister Georgie Johnson brought back from Israel. It's a picture of the temple. Now, you know something? There's going to be a temple in the millennium. I don't have a clue to what it's all about. I don't understand why. New Jerusalem doesn't have it. What is going on? I don't know, but I like it. Further sanctification. Maybe it's a place we gather with the real expression of what we always wanted. Really singing those songs. And entering in. Maybe there'll be a bit of a heavenly choir. I don't really expect it, but it'll be all right. We should be good enough by then. But you see, there's many things there. But when we drink the communion, we're saying, we're going to be there. It's the confirmation that you've received an invitation, you've accepted it, and you're going to be there. So two things we saw tonight. Foot washing, communion. So let's stand at this time, brethren, come, and they'll come forward so we can bow our heads and consecrate the emblems. And quickly we'll have our service. And we have lots of room for foot washing. So come on right up here and we go right ahead. Let's bow our assembly. The brethren, the elders here, the deacons. And you know how to come. So Heavenly Father, we consecrate these emblems to you and know a little bit more than we knew before we got here about the blessedness of receiving the wine. We've accepted the invitation to the wedding supper. We'll be there in the kingdom drinking it, Lord. Foot washing we know follows. Makes us more and more than ever. We know we ain't got a thing coming. Whatever you sent, which you sent the prophet at the end time, man sent from God. God to get the healing to the world, but brought the word to us. We accept it. Just the same as we accept the blessed Holy Spirit baptism, we accept you and your prophet, your presence. And we're glad we can testify to it. May every person, Lord, be sanctified with the emblems tonight. By the sanctifying grace of the blessed Holy Spirit, by the manifested, revealed, indicated word of this hour, where it's all come together, with time and eternity blending, beautiful brightness of light in our souls, going way, way into the great day beyond, even past the white throne to the New Jerusalem, and all those things that are coming for it. And Father, I'm glad that you didn't say these things came from our mind as though we had to understand them because we had a part in it. But we just receive them, put them in our heart, and they come out of our mouths. And that's what you said, Lord, we're doing it tonight. And by your grace, Lord, there'll be waters to float over the other side. We give you glory in Jesus' name, amen. We start the communion and the people can start coming.
Sisters are ready, though. Be dismissed at this time then. Yeah, I think they're all ready. Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace and mercy and love again, Lord, and we thank you for this time. We've had fellowship together around your word and with each other, obeying your commandments, Lord, and we see so much in the word, Father, as time goes on, ever opening. We appreciate it so much because we know, Lord, that we're getting more and more established in the faith. We realize that one God and one word, one revelation of that, bringing us all together, even knowing, and this is that hour when we are one with each other, Lord. We thank you for the invisible union, all those things, Lord, that you've accomplished in our lives. And we pray, Father, that as days go by, we may
attempt to walk more worthy of the calling you've given us, Father, to show forth your praise. We just look to you, Lord, then, that you bless us and keep us on our way home tonight. Help us, O God. May we all have a good night's rest. May we relax, Father, and get up tomorrow morning praising your name. And, Lord, believing for the help that you've given this hour, knowing, as the prophet said, that age hasn't got a thing to do with it. So here, Lord, I myself cannot pray for extended time, nor would I pray for extended time, but, Lord, I can pray for better health. And so we do pray for each other and all, Lord, that the problems of this life be met, especially those things that are so vital, as Brother Branham kept praying for the sick, Lord. May we continue to pray for each other and see the good hand of the Lord move upon us with the word dwelling in our hearts and that same word coming forth in strong bodies, a good testimony to you, Lord, and for the one reason to praise your name. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus. In the book of 2 Corinthians, so I'll turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, we'll just read a little bit here in the 11th chapter again, just one little bit or two here. And Paul, I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Now, remember, if Paul received it and gave it to us, he's the apostle, he's the prophet that got it from God. And though he, like Moses, ate the same manna that he called for, he, like Moses, had to live and be in the same word that the rest of the people had. I want you to know this, that Paul did not receive this for himself any more than William Branham received anything for himself. It was for the people. Here's your picture. For what I received of the Lord, and I gave it to you. That's why Paul said, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm free from the blood of all men because I've not shunned to declare the full counsel to you. I didn't hold anything back. Well, how would you like to have a preacher who held things back? Yeah. He knew things he could tell you. I want to tell you something. There's not one thing that I've held back from any of you that I feel that God revealed from this word. Fact of the matter is, that's all I live for, is to have God tell me something that is from this word, just endear it to my heart, no matter where he does it, and I've got my thought. And I say, that's wonderful. I can now bring that to the people, and that's going to be something, that's a building block. That's a building block. All right. We're going to build upon that foundation. Now, he said, I received it, and I gave it to you. And here's what I received. And he wasn't even there. It had to be privy from the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, remember, if he took bread the same night he was betrayed, back there, and that's Alpha, when he gets betrayed the last time, now that's Hebrews 6, you know, that they betray him, and in 2 Peter denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, hey, that's not, oh, no, no, that's not that one. That's not one in human flesh again. No, 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 that's not God manifesting human flesh. When Brother Branham said, God is going to manifest again in human flesh, it's a promise. No, 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 we can't buy that. Well, don't buy it. See, you can't buy it anyway. It doesn't cost you anything. Just take it. Paul didn't say, hey, you got to pay me money. You got to give me tithe. He said, I wouldn't even take your tithe, this bunch of Corinthians. Why, he said, I deliberately made you an inferior church. I wouldn't even take your money. Now, what I got from God, I'm giving to you. Hey, I like that. I think a true servant of God would be that kind of a fella. Without money, without price, what did Paul pay for it? Nothing. Now, if he'd have tried to pay, wouldn't have done him any good. The book of Romans proves that. Paul would have stood there as a lousy testimony to his own word. No, there's no fooling in the scripture. Now, this man had it. It wasn't for himself. But it was the night that Jesus was betrayed. He took that bread. Now, if he's going to be betrayed in this hour, what is he going to do? He's going to take bread and break it again, right? Another original loaf. Sure. Well, come on. Paul's dealing with what Jesus did. And he likens it to the original loaf. He said, what God revealed, man shall not live by bread alone. Ever it proceeded out of the mouth of God? This is Alpha. Now we go to Mega. Do you think we don't go to Mega? Come on now. You know we go to Mega. And I think you can read my thoughts. And it says right here, it's impossible those once were all enlightened. Now what's enlightenment? Paul's enlightening them. Revelation. See? Taste the heavenly. Look at the tasting. He tasted fornication. Adam went with her. We're not tasting fornication and going along. What are we tasting? We're tasting what Adam tried to get his hands on, couldn't do it. The heavenly gift, partaking the Holy Ghost, and taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. What's he done? Who came down? Who came down with the shove the message? Who came down to Revelation 10 and broke through the prophet all the mysteries? Come on, tell me. There's your answer. If he did it then, he's doing it now, right? He's got to. Help us, Omega. God. Huh? Don't forget your principles, little children. Don't forget your principles. What goes up must come down. Throw an egg in the air, come down and splashes unless you catch it. Kick a rock hard, break your toe. It's your tough luck. See, you can't change laws. Who was it that came to Adam and Eve? God. Who came down now? God. Who came down to shed blood? God in Christ. God. Who brought this to Paul? God. Now we're getting the picture. What happens in the end time? They crucify him afresh to themselves. Now, in the night he was betrayed. What's the darkest hour? The furthest from the center. The last stage is almost total blackness. It's the furthest point. Now at this time what happens? He's betrayed. Brother Branham said, I have my Judases. I think he used a singular. I don't know who my Judas is. He might have used Judases. I'm not quite sure, singular or plural at that time. We could look it up. I know who mine is. Now, who's the Judas of this hour? Those who pretend they believe the message. And literally, they're very affectionate toward it. Right? Judas was very affectionate. Like the Church of Christ, like the organizations. I think even the Pope is quite an admirer of Jesus. I little wonder, though, if he's like Snow White's stepmother. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the best Christ of all? Well, that's just my little sympathetic, sarcastic way of putting it across. Antichrist is going to out-Christ, I think. Oh, he'd be some humdinger, that guy. So the night he's betrayed, Christ gets betrayed again. And when he's given thanks, he broke it. Now notice, he gives thanks. Now listen, when Christ is betrayed the second time, he still gives thanks. Why? It's all over. Now the fire can come, right? Sure, that says in Hebrews. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges for it, gathering the garner, burns the chaff, right? Fire. He's come with fire and judgment. To be glorified in his saints, left hand, right hand. See, all the doctrine comes up perfect. You can't change anything. Once you get in the rhythm and the role. Huh? Look at these dancers. I'm not much at watching dancers anymore, but when I did watch, and once in a while, if I see something which I don't like particularly, I always marvel how they can do the 1, 2, 3, 4 shuffle, this and that, and they do 1,000 movements. They get in the rhythm. Second nature. There's a rhythmic second nature through the conductor of the symphony. They know the moves. Bride doesn't get food. No. She didn't get food. Now notice at this time, the thankfulness of God, this is the gift of Christ, the epiphany. This is a breaking of the great thought, the great last message. Take ye, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance. Took the cup, the blood of the New Testament. Drink it in remembrance of me. As oft you do this, and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Now I have to tell you something. There are people right now who say we don't take communion anymore. This book makes it a lie. This book makes it a lie. Because the crucifixion of the Word is still going on.
See, we're still in that dark hour. Yet at the same time, the life of that crucified word, his crucifying to the flesh and the mind, all these things are there. And one day, when that death has its perfect work, there'll be a bride come forth. As Brother Branham said, just let 10 people in one place have those same thoughts, there's going to be a rapture. Well, just reduce it to the bride, brother, sister. Reduce it. I don't care where she is. She's in one place in the mind of God. I can tell you that in the purpose of God, everything else. One of these days, we're going to come to that unity. He said this was the hour. And believe me, there'll be a change. Now, listen carefully here. He said there are those that work it, that do it unworthily. They eat and drink condemnation. For this cause many are sickly, weak, and weak among you. They sleep. But if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, the point is this. When you have this prelogue here of the church, the visions and all these things, and the wrong eating of the Lord's Supper, what is he telling these people to do? Judge themselves. See if you're with the Word. That's all. See, anybody knows that adultery, murder, fornication, all these things are wrong. But they are merely the evidences or the trappings or the symptoms of the reality which is your true faith, which should be positively a passive faith. And that passive faith is literally the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ himself toward his own Father God. And the true revelation by that same one comes into your heart. Now, it says, check yourselves out. Check yourselves out. Because here's the point. If Brother Branham said David would not have done that terrible sin and be full of the Holy Ghost, there is nobody here tonight going to tell me that you can be full of the Holy Ghost and desire or be engaged in some of the terrible things that people are doing. It just doesn't cut. So there's symptoms of those people being outside of that faith somewhere. I'm not talking about you're perfect now. You can beg Brother Branham, he's sinned 1,000 times a day, backslide 1,000 times a day. We have an intercessor. But we're looking at the fact, are we truly associated with this word, and particularly now the understanding of the hour in which we live. Now, everything in the world, brother, sister, the television set, the CNN, which is the big one, and others begin to copy, have made it a point to introduce worldwide news every second of the day. Now, don't tell me at this point the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. And I'm talking now about the hour in which we live and the evidences, right? Not talking about all that junk going on out there. I'm talking about now. Do we really understand the hour in which we live? Are we truly sympathetic and empathetic to it? And is it working in us? And is it our one hope? Live, die, sink, or swim. And that's not a matter of pure fatalism saying, well, live, die, sink, or swim, bless God. That's idiocy. Go out and hang yourself. I'm talking about eternal things. I can be pretty crass, I know it. And I regret it. I apologize. But I tell you flat, live, die, sink, or swim means this is it, and I ain't looking no place else. I'm relying on it. So, Brother Vail, does that give you tremendous rest? Well, it gives me a big rest in this one direction. I know which direction to look. It's right in here. I'd look any place else. What am I telling you? I take the Lord's Supper tonight on that basis. I take it on the basis that I'm not guilty of shedding his blood at this time. I'm not guilty of denying him. I'm not guilty of denying the faith. I'm taking my correction. I'm not perfect. That which is perfect has come, but I haven't come. He came. Don't call me Mr. Perfect. First of all, look at my hair. Boil it down the baldry. Right? That to me is all a part of this. When I take the emblems, that's it. I'm saying, hey, Lord, I appreciate that. Yep. I'm not a brand for the burning. I'm not chaff to be scattered with the wind and there's judgment and then burn. I'm not part of the second death. I'm part of this word.
Living word of God. That's right, and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your kindness and mercy which you shown us tonight. We take a lot of time at this time, Lord, but we trust it's good for us. I know, Lord, that as far as for me concerned, I may be tired from preaching in the sense that it's exhausting in many ways because I'm not as strong as I once was. But I do know this, Lord, in talking about it, I hear myself, it goes down into my very innermost being, to my soul, comes out again magnified, more pertinent, more dominant, more wonderful than ever. And I believe, Lord, there is life there that's overcoming the light which we had in the beginning but was interrupted, ready to go into the millennium, to the beautiful delights and glory of God in a life that was missed, and Lord, full of marvelous things to transpire, marvelous, marvelous things. And day by day, Lord, we'll grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, further sanctification. And Lord, at this very time, we know the breaking of the bread signifying not just the broken body, which is true, but the breaking of that word at the end time, with the life flowing in and through us, the very life of Almighty God, giving us the power to escape the wrath which is to come, and which literally is already here, just ready for the boiling up. Already here, we know that, Father. May each and every one, Lord, partaking tonight, feel free in the love of Almighty God, in your presence, in the joy of the Lord, in the true revelation of that word, which is our life, and we love it better than human life, because we know that, hey, there's just no comparison. We're here enduring, as it were, this little life for a little while, just waiting for the change to walk into the greater life, the expanded life. Father, bless everyone in divine presence, knowing everyone is welcome who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes, Lord, particularly the messages the prophet taught him. Looking forward, Lord, each one of us, that great and glorious day which we believe is now upon us, to be taken unto you in the physical. Heal the sick amongst us. Help us, Lord, to believe as never before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're just rising now. The brethren come forward right now. Are they all finished now? Yeah, good. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your presence with the bride, Lord, the pillar of fire to take us into the millennium. Especially now the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which knowing we have by the fact of the recognition and the reception, Lord, and the great desire to be correct, to be right in all manner of thinking, all manner of doctrine, all manner of persuasion and everything, Lord, that come to the place of truly live, die, sink or swim, that this is the Lord. And we don't have our own thoughts coming, Lord, but pray even more and more your thoughts will be our thoughts, your thoughts, Lord, in that day, knowing we're one, Father, waiting for the hour of the resurrection and the reincarnation. The Spirit is our midst. Become incarnate to us, waiting for the joy of crowning you King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, recognizing that will be the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, all these things in one, that one standing here, and we with him, Lord. We appreciate this and trusting now that this is our portion, Lord, that we be strengthened day by day and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, coming behind in no gift, but especially no word whatsoever, but standing true. True in the inner man, true in the outer man, all things being your God. That's what we desire, Lord, and we know that it's there in the book. And by faith, Father, we count ourselves part of it, just trusting that more and more evidence shall come forth by your own thinking, resolved unto yours, truly having no thoughts but yours on this, particularly this tremendous revealed faith, and then walking in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us, walking in a manner, Lord, written of living epistles, read and known of all men. In short, Lord, we want what you have not only wanted for us, but you've made full provision. And now, Lord, may the full provision and us get together that we might be that living manifestation. Unto thee we give the honor and the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. When Jesus knew his hour was come, he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now notice, Brother Branham said that
Actually, God left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Having loved his own, truly loved him unto the end. So we go over then to the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're looking at what Paul said, "For I have received the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take it, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he took the cup and he supped, saying, 'This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come. Wherever whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, let's just take a little scripture over here, and we go to Hebrews 11 chapter, which we were looking at tonight, but not in this same vein. And in the 11th chapter, we're looking at Moses. "And by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." Now, in other words, there was a commandment and direct contradistinction against the word of the Lord. Now, these parents did not fear. They saw that the boy was right according to Scripture, and they were not going to do anything against Scripture. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense or reward, or in other words, to the recompense that God would give him or pay him back for being faithful to the word. Now, what do you get for being faithful to the word? You get what the word says. Now, you may be tried, like the word of the tribe Joseph, until the word came to him, his deliverance came, but he stayed true. Now, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Then by faith he passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian is saying or trying to do. They thought they could do it, they were drowned." Now, the verse I'm looking at especially is 28. But you could also look at verse 24, where he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we know that Brother Branham often said Pastor Pharaoh. And he would definitely say the same thing about the churches today and their pastors, which, of course, we know the Pope will head up the great pastors, because he calls himself the Vicar of Christ, he calls himself the Big Shepherd, and he's got the shepherd's crook and all those things to prove that he is that one. Well, hey, I could make myself the wing of an airplane and strap it on my shoulder and prove I'm an airplane. Just as good as the Pope can prove he's Jesus. He isn't doing anything to prove he's Jesus. He proves everything he's not Jesus. He's Antichrist. So come on, let's face it. The guy's a complete phony, and the people want his phonyism. Now, listen, if that doesn't prove the world is insane, you tell me what does prove it's insane. Sure to God, I can stand up here, and if I declared to you, hey, I'm certainly, who was he? Well, you could say, well, reincarnated. Well, that wouldn't be too hard if you said your reincarnation. But there's one thing I cannot say. I cannot certainly stand up and say I'm Queen Elizabeth. You say, boy, the guy's even mixed up with his sex. Holy mackerel. Hey, just saying something, is that nothing? Prove it! Amen. You know, he's going to find out someday he shouldn't have advertised. So you're going to have to deliver. When he stands before the real Jesus, all that bunch of popes and all the Protestants, they're doing the same thing too. They're right in their hand and glove. You see, this fellow here, Moses, he wasn't going to be called a member of Pharaoh's daughter. Who is it that's had the Bible all these years? Protestants. Every Protestant is the daughter of Pharaoh, of Babylon, of the great harlot, Rome. There's not one that isn't. Time magazine printed the chart. I got it somewhere amongst my junk. Hidden somewhere. It's the truth. There's no group that is not. Everyone denominated. And the denominations are all there proving exactly. And those that say they haven't, they're crazy. They have, because you can prove they all stick together and they got their own ideas and all. Mennonites and Amish,
All of them. If you don't believe it, go to the army and say, hey, what do you believe? Some of you believe you're real super if you don't have a bathroom with a stool in it. I don't know what makes you spiritual going out in the woods. Then you're not quite so spiritual if you put something in your house that it doesn't flush. I've been there, I know what I'm talking about. Where do you get that? There's no word for that nonsense. Listen, let's get this flat. The first sanitary rules ever laid down by anybody was by God.
Amen.
It's right in the book of Exodus. Right down the line. Sanitation. I wouldn't be surprised if Israel was the one that brought sanitation to Egypt, where they had flushing toilets and sewers and everything else. I wouldn't be at all surprised. In fact, I'd be surprised anything else but that. They're always the brains. Listen, go to any place you want. If this man that I think I have faith in, you got to have faith in the Hungarian Jew, or you've got to be a little bit, you know, rocky. Right, Oscar? They closed him down. The FDA closed him down when he had when he proved cold nuclear fission, and it's right on his film how it works. Took plant for $15 million. Why? There's no money in cheap energy, cold energy. There's no money in it. Hey, it's the rich man. Don't you understand what's in this big religious movement? In this great big mess of the world? Blame everything on God. By the way, you'll also see when I show you the film, you're going to find we're so close to the secrets of life that this man has discovered. If this is not the end, I'd say, hey, well, we'll all take off one day. We'll all get out of here anyway. I want to tell you something. I believe with all my heart we're locked up. Live, die, sink, swim. This is it, or forget it. Don't even try to think. You're just going to make yourself a bigger mess than ever. Okay. Now watch. He left the organization, which we know to be true. He passed the Pharaoh. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, because of that, the faith in the Passover, and being a part of it. And remember, they that partake in Israel are partakers of the altar. Right? By faith, he passed through the Red Sea as by dry. And they put land in there. As though it was dry water. H-O. Water's H2O, right? What if you knock the two components apart? You just have a gas. And oxygen's dry. And hydrogen's dry, right? Better be. The only way when they get together. Dry water. What's dry water? H&O. But they did pass through there. They rolled it. Their waters rolled back. We know that. But you see, it was dry. Don't you have to call it dry land? Which the Egyptians tried to do. They were drowned. God rolled it back. Now, what I want to show you here is this. That he kept the Passover, which was the sprinkling of blood, the slaughter of the lamb, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn, now that's Egyptian. In other words, what you're looking at is the firstborn in all religions, especially at that particular time in the true Judo religion. The understanding is that the firstborn is equal with his father, and he owns half of all assets. And his name on the check is just as good as his dad's. This is it. In other words, you're looking at the perpetuation of the kingdom as to its assets that are physical, material, human, spiritual. Now this man, Moses, said, look, by faith, I'm keeping it. That I'm perpetuating and going on into that which is set forth before me as God. And he did it, and he went into the promised land. He did not die. Now look what you're looking at here. He broke it. This is the Passover. Take ye, this is my body, broken for you. Took the cup, drink this in my name. Now, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's telling you here, when you partake of these emblems, and remember, you're dealing with Alpha and Omega. You're dealing with the Exodus. The very fact that you and I partake of these emblems are showing that positively we are part of the true Passover. And we are not going to die and lose the inheritance, because God will not touch the firstborn that are under the blood and signify their knowledge of this particular commandment and ordinance of the end time. You follow me? We're looking now at the third Exodus. Number one Exodus, Moses. And Brother Branham always went back from his day to Moses, because remember, he said, we have not seen the pillar of fire that came to Moses, but the pillar of fire Moses, something like this. I can get the exact quote later on, remember. We have not seen it for the pillar of fire came Moses since the time of Paul for 2,000 years till now. He's telling you right there that you're going right into the time of Moses, the time of Paul, and you're looking at the end time. Now, you're looking then, therefore, at the third Exodus, which will have a greater basing than the second Exodus. Because remember, you simply can't type the Exodus under Jesus as you can type this, because it just doesn't type out, and Brother Branham did not type it. He went right back to Moses. So we see here then, in this last day, it's very important to partake of these emblems. Now, the same Bible, the same book, in the 10th chapter, he says here, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now that's an actual participation and an association. And Brother Branham said communion. He used the term communion as communicating, having communion. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now watch. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after flesh, are not they which eat of their sacrifices partaker of the altar? Now, Brother Branham mentioned, and it is true, and I have no problem with what he said, except we better balance everything he said. And that is, he said, we do not take anybody away from the table, Lord, unless it is gross immorality. Yet the same person said this. I recall, we can get the quote, look it up through the computer. You've got all kinds of software, everything else. Did he not also say that you had no right to that table unless you were born again? They say, all right, then how do we know who's born again? What did Mary say? Amen. Amen for me. From you to me, amen. She didn't flinch. Now look, you're looking at the two things. Christ must come back. He cannot come back to the corrupt world system of churches. There's only a true virgin bride can bring him back. We're looking at that. We saw that tonight. We're looking also at the very fact here that partaking of the Lord's Supper is only for those who are born again. And the partaking is a significance in symbolism that we are not going to die. We're talking now of the second death. We're talking even of this death. There'll be some standing here shall not taste the death. There's no way. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all die. That was proven by vision in Matthew 16, 17 also. So what we see here then, we're looking at, is this, that the partaking of these emblems signify our faith and our testimony that we are not going to
go into the great tribulation? No way, shape, and form. That we are not daughters of the harlot system, and that we are members of each other. And I'm going to tell you flat, if we are members of each other, we're members of the same word, because the Apostle Paul said, say the same thing. There are people who have this idea. I get letters all the time. They're crank letters. Well, not all the time, but enough time to just burn me to a little, you know, just sort of brown me up. They give me a little tan. They always try and say, you preachers are the ones that's causing all the trouble. You should get together. What for? Just to have a good fight in the Donnybrook and kill each other? Do you think I'm going to sit with preachers and simply agree with them for the sake of being nice and agreeable? Come on, don't be ridiculous. No. I've taken my stand. The preachers say Lee Dale's built a little house around himself. Yes, I have, upon the solid rock. Oh, yeah. Let the storms come. What does it mean, the storms come and we stand or not stand? Well, hey, if the storms come and the house is rickety, it means you depart with what you believe. If your faith is solid and you're solid with it, you're not going to leave this live, die, sink, or swim. Better stick with it. So communion and foot wash. What does foot washing mean to me? Well, what is your tabernacle? Your tabernacle is your house. So I'd say foot washing. There's a little sign right there to me if I want to call that. Washing your garments, washing your feet. You don't have to wash the head. You don't have to wash the body. It's just the washing the feet. That's where the feet get tired. They're restored. They've been walking in tough places. It's a matter of the communion table restores you. You're coming here for the clemency of God. What lies within the propitiation is yours. So like Moses, we celebrate the Passover tonight. God's not going to destroy the firstborn. Now, I'm old, I'd be taken out of here, but there's some of you sitting right here, some of you younger people. And some of you what? You have to be only a matter of 20 years my junior. Not even 30 years. I can't see the world going on 20 more years. Brother Branham categorically told us the time that they're on the very verge of discovering life, that's the time that he's got to come. When you see this film, either this man is a liar, or what you're seeing is going to blow your mind. And you will see it, because I'll see that you see. Just get a big enough monitor, television set out there. And I want, if you're going to sit there, you're going to sit through it at least two times. Don't sit through it just once. But if that film is not a fraud, and that man is not a liar, but he's a true scientist, and he's got to be a pretty good scientist, because he's a nuclear physicist, and De Beers hired him to make those diamonds out of gases, which is carbon. He was in Russian prison for 9 years. He's had 3 complete major heart attacks. Either one could have killed him. His heart's just almost completely normal. What you see and what you hear will make you realize why the first word in the Bible is concerning creation. Let there be light. It's amazing. When I see all the signs coming in, what am I going to do? Well, Brother Dale, it's time to look for something better. You are a liar. You have not been taught by Lee Dale. You have not heard one thing the prophet said. You are not my brother. You're not my sister. Now, you may be brother gods. I can tell you flat, you're not mine. Because live, die, sink, or swim. I'm looking for only one thing to take place. I'll be honest with you. That's the resurrection rapture. All right, let's rise. And the brethren come forward to serve. We have a little in the song leading. And we'll pray over the emblems, I guess, for this one. It's okay, I got it. We're going to use this now, because we're going to use it. The brethren here, yeah, that's fine. Now, you all know how to come. You start at the back there, and you come forward. And by the way, I also want you to notice, I know there's plenty of room out there for foot washing. Now, there's not so many here, but there's also back here room for about 12 at one time.
so the foot washing can go rapidly because there's lots of room for the ladies. And we're going to partake the emblems. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to commend ourselves to you tonight, Lord, and really commit ourselves in the faith of what we have been talking about. And Lord, as Brother Branham said, it's not enough to look at and say, that's right, that's certainly right, and talk about it. It's only enough when we're truly committed to it. And Lord God, tonight I've got to be honest with you. I don't know how to be more fully committed to this message. I can only preach it. You know that as well as I and everybody here, that I can only preach and teach it according to what I believe the prophet said and no other way. And with your help, Lord, you're the only one to help to get it just right and see the simplicity, see it back and forth in the Word. You're the only one that can do that, Lord. And Father, I'm resting on that tonight, that what I've said is true in actual fact of the Word, in actual type also. As we see Moses at the Passover, we see ourselves at the Passover. We see ourselves taking communion tonight because we believe we're firstborn, and you're not going to get rid of the firstborn. You're not going to cause them to die. But Lord, we're going to go over there, positively enter into the millennium, we believe, after the wedding supper. These things, Father, that the only thing we could say is, and we said it many times before, and you know our hearts, that, and as Brother Brandon himself said, we're just not sincere enough. And Lord, that's the thing we're looking at tonight. We are not sincere enough, but we do know the truth. We believe we do. And because that is so, Lord, we could say, well, we're a little bit too much like the disciples. And when you were here on earth with them, everything was, oh, great going. Everything was fabulous. And then the lull came when you were gone those 3 days. And even after coming back, their eyes were not open. And Lord, we may be a little bit in that position where we're not fully realizing everything we should realize. But God, tonight, at least our hearts are right and our minds are right to this degree. We are believing we're taking these emblems right. And this last hour, Lord, and this last day of the crossing over, that we're looking to the Passover and realizing Christ is our Passover. And He is our communion. We're communing one with another. And we are in this harmony. Help us to that end, Father. Heal the sick amongst us. May there not be one feeble person, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be dismissed, and we don't have to go in the hall. We'll just wait. See, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, Lord, that we can come back together and have fellowship, communion, knowing that this is a communion of the saints. We come around and acknowledge you, Lord, the Passover, the death, resurrection, acknowledge each other, Father. And glad to somehow believe, Lord, we are of one mind. May that mind have come from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be with us as we go home, Lord. May we also have fellowship with you, communion within our hearts and with each other. And we pray for good night's rest to bring us back, Lord, to worship your name. And may the healing virtue of Christ be with us, Lord, from the inside to the outside. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Now, foot washing and communion. So, what we'll do is just read a little bit of scripture and go on, because time gets away. It's 9 o'clock already, by the looks of things. Yeah, it's about 1:02. We'll go again to John 13. That's a great chapter on love. And remember, it was John who said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And again, he says that the very first of this chapter, therefore having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. This book is a great authority on love. And remember, John is speaking in terms not of human love, or love which can be counterfeited. Hypocritical love, as Paul said, let love be without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. In other words, some kind of flattering talk, you know, and get along with folk and this and that, you know. But he said, let it be genuine. And you notice when he's talking about this particular love here, he's not only talking about the sacrificial love, which indeed it is, because there's no love that's real love without it costing something, and you're doing something, you know, you put yourself to one side and all. But he's talking in here now about the reality and the truth of really what took place at that time. And what he saw here, literally, being there, Paul, the apostle, received it by revelation, not having been there. In fact, everything that Paul might have heard about this would have been terribly derogatory, such as
What's this bit about him saying, God, eat my body and drink my blood? Brother Branham said, that's a cannibal. We don't believe in cannibalism. And Israel did not believe in human sacrifice. No way, shape, and form. That was against the word. Couldn't even walk through the fires of Moloch. Couldn't do that. So, here's something we're looking at. And that is, can you have love without being truthful? It's impossible. No liar can be a lover. I'm sorry about that. Seduction, yes. But not love. Because if a man loved you, he'd tell you the truth. Of course, he wouldn't tell you the truth in such a way as to run you down, hurt you, knock you down. We're all guilty. I'm saying we're all because I want to make you feel bad because I feel bad about it. We all have that power. Like you're showing mercy with kindness. A lot of people show mercy because they got no other way out. I'll let you off the hook this time, but boy, oh boy. You know. So, we're looking at truth. Truth is a... One thing Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. If he's love, he's also truth. So there's no such thing as love being a lie, or a lie being love. No. Now, these are pretty hard facts that are shown here. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and was come from God and went to God, he rise in supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water in the basin, began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with his girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou wilt know hereafter. And Peter said, well, if I don't get the answer right now, you're not going to wash my feet. That's not like Brother Branham. He said the faithful prophet waited. He didn't have to have his answers right away. You neither have to have answers right away or give answers right away. It's dangerous many times to give answers right away. Just say, I don't know. So Peter didn't know. So he blew it. He wanted to know the answer right now. And what did Jesus do? He said, and Jesus said, all right. If I don't wash thee, you have no part with me. If you can't take this mystery about what's going on, forget it. I'm not telling you a lie. I'm not doing something I shouldn't be doing. There's no deceit in me. I am the truth. So he said, if you can't take it, it's over. Now, who was Jesus? Prophet. And the prophets did strange things, right? All very strange thing. At the command of God. Go bury that piece of linen. Go do this, do that. It's a sign. I can't take that? You can't? Goodbye. Well, it's nice knowing you're not. I'm sorry, but you missed it. See, remember, he was a prophet. We don't want to talk about prophet. We want to talk about Son of God, 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 Virgin born, Virgin born, Virgin born, this and that, and this and that, and this and that. Prophet. Right? Prophet. Right? If the word could only come to prophets, what would the word be when it came? Prophet. Sure. Prophet. So. He's done this thing. Little object lesson. Now watch Peter's violent reaction. Lord, not my feet only, my hand, my head. Hey, give me a real bath. He did a real 180. He actually did a 360. Didn't know where to stop. What did Jesus say? Oh, I don't mind Peter. He's a nice guy. He just made a little mistake there. Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not to wash. Not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. Now, you notice that this foot washing there, that's maybe a sign of walking through the waters, like often walking over Jordan. They walked through. They didn't walk in the water. The water's around them. But it's a little bit of a sign in there, because really, these are the waters of separation. Right here, the foot washing, the water of separation. And the waters of separation are the waters of cleansing, sanctifying. And it was at this time that Judas was begun to be pointed out. See, Peter questioned, and I would think that Peter became kind of the whipping boy for Judas standing over there. He said, not all of you are clean. He's speaking of Judas. So after he'd washed their feet and taken his garment, sat down, he said, know ye not what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. In other words, he's the superior authority, the great one among them. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, and you also ought to wash one of his feet, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done also to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not great in his Lord, neither he that sent him great, and he that neither great is nor neither he that is sent great, and he that sent him. If you know these things, happy to do them. I have spoken not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth the bread hath lift up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye shall believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receiveth me receiveth whomsoever I sent me. That's part of this today's message. And then, you'll notice in here they go on and they take the Lord's Supper. This is an actual true account. And this has to do with the betrayal by the one that was chosen by Jesus. Are you thinking? Well, think hard. How many people have churches voted in to betray the church? It's all part of the end time. It's all part of every time. There never was a time when there wasn't that going on. Betrayal. Now, the inception of betrayal came with Judas in the foot washing service, acting as though was walking through the waters of separation, clean every whit. That's it. You foot wash, you better believe that you're born again. Everything is to the believer. What could a man outside of Christ have anything to do with the ordinances? That's like trying to give the Hebrew law to the Gentiles. Forget it. Could you give the Gentile gospel of Christ to the Hebrews? They don't want it. It's only for the elect. All right, he walks through. What does he do? He betrays the Lord. And Brother Branham said, who is he? He's the Word. Betrayed everything that God did in that man's life. The days of the Son of Man, which was a vindication for the Word. He preferred him in honor, gave him the sop. In fact, I think he might have taken the whole goblet with him. I'm a little judgmental, maybe, maybe not. Maybe not. And after he took it, Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. That's when the devil got a hold of him. Did Judas ever repent? He didn't. Is there any repentance after turning down this message and the vindicated word? There isn't any. What you see here is that people will go through every motion. Gifts, anointings, everything else. Doesn't mean that they're real. Doesn't mean that you and I are real tonight. There's only one thing, and that is that word. That's the only word that lives today, is this word that we're trying to preach tonight. By the grace of God, I hope we preached it right. And I know I have, on the grounds that Brother Branham is talking about himself, and God has given him the very words. for this hour. These very words will make people rise up and say, aha, Brother Branham said one another was to come. And they say, I'm that one. And you'd be surprised the number who believe it. And they haven't anything at all, anywhere, shape, and form that even comes near the word. They don't even know what Brother Branham said. But they're sure because they heard that one little phrase, I'm the one. I've been in touch with some of it. And I'm so utterly appalled. And I'm sorry, I just don't know what I would say about people like that or to them. Fact of the matter is, I never say anything to them because I realize there's no use talking. Because a deluded man is always the man that's sure that he is right. By the grace of God, that is not a delusion. That is a... Now, there's science, my brother, my sister. And it's not one and one make two. And two make four. But the same God is right there that said one and one make two and two make four, and H2O makes water. That's the same one that did it all. Yep. Let's rise at this time. Brethren, come forward. And you want to move those flowers around the back here? You can move them. We don't really have an altar here, but Brother Branham didn't like flowers on the altar. But seeing we're going by the cup of the Lord, we recognize that we know there's serpent seed out here. We're not pleading anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not presenting anything but that in this day. And that's like a first fruit offering. Very nice, but we just try to clear them away. So let's, Father, we now come before you for the emblems, which are the emblems that portray, show forth the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God, who, when the blood was shed, released the Spirit to go back to you, to come forth upon people. Tonight, Lord, we believe that we have a right to the emblems on the grounds that we are born again. The proof being, Lord, we have received this word, and do not look further for any other word. And do not, Lord, as we know, do despot to the Spirit of grace. We trust we do not. But anxiously believing, Lord, every word that the prophet said, hoping against hope, coming to the place, live, die, sink, or swim, Lord, we are committed to the word of the prophet, the vindication, and those things that he said, which are surely in the word, and are being shown to us at this time how that which was sown, that original seed, has now come to the place where the original sower is coming to bring his children into his kingdom. And we honoring and glorifying him, waiting for further motions. When, Lord, you raise the dead, and you bring us back from millennium, then those things that come forth which we're not too well versed in. But we believe all those things are there. So very humbly tonight, Lord, counting ourselves a part of that body, we partake of these emblems. And may the sick amongst us be healed, Lord. May the infirm receive some strength, O God, commensurate to the hour in which we live, which, Lord, is tremendous when we look at it, where even was manifested through the prophet's ministry. These things, Lord, we humbly desire, O God. No great ones among us but you yourself, Lord, the great one. No one with any word, Lord, but with your word. No one with any hope but your hope. And then believing, Lord, somehow that by the grace that you've extended to people in this hour, that we may learn as the prophet did, to get out of the way, Lord. So if there's some service or something that might be done, by the strength you give us, it might be by the life of the word and according to the pattern that it might be done. That, Lord, it may be just a little token, a little help tonight, that to know more than ever, not just by faith as a word, but that is sufficient. A little token, Lord, melting and molding our hearts to such an extent that we could be a little more of that living word, Lord, amongst the word, living epistles read and known of all men. So we humbly acknowledge your presence, Lord, in our own